Today's reading is from Micah. What can we bring to the Lord? Should we bring him burnt offerings? Should we bow before God Most High with offerings of yearling calves? Should we offer him thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Should we sacrifice our firstborn children to pay for our sins? No, O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you: to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning. So a few weeks ago, Rob was down in North Carolina in the Holy Land, as he likes to call it. And I like to call it that too a little bit. But he sent me an email and said, I know you might think I'm crazy, but I thought you might want to preach on the weekend of Servant Day and the back to school extravaganza. You can tell me no, but I just thought I'd offer you the opportunity. So when you're an associate at a church, you never say no to preach, ever. But I might have been a little bit crazy. So there has been a lot going on. And it's also really hard to preach the Sunday after my husband, Dave. For those of you who are visiting here for the first time, my husband's a pastor here too, and he's the preacher in the family. I'm the storyteller in the family. So the 8 o'clock service, I about passed out preaching, so I'm a little nervous, but I'm just going to tell you some stories about all the really great things that are going on here and how I see God working through all of you every day, and why I have easily the best job in this church. So let's pray. God, I thank you for the opportunity to share stories, and God, to be able to witness the ways that people are working in this community, in this country, and in this world. And so I pray, God, that you would guide all of us in this time of hearing how you have knit us together as a community, and how what one person is doing really affects all of us in this family of faith. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So 6 years ago, PJ, pre-Jamelin, there was a decision made by the inclusive team to start a day called Servant Day. And the vision of this day was that people would go and serve around the community here along the 86th Street area. They didn't want to go too far from the church, and so they contacted some schools and went to a few other organizations, and about 300 people showed up for that inaugural Servant Day. And so since it went so well, they decided that they would do it the next year, and about 300 people showed up again, and so they thought that was great. And they did it the third year, and about 250 people showed up, but still really great. But conversations began on whether or not maybe Servant Day had sort of lived its course, and it was time maybe to do something different. But the inclusive team really did not want to give up on this vision of serving the community and being together as a church. And so they really pushed hard that year, and 400 people showed up, and it was decided that this is definitely something that the church should be doing. So last year, I had this really great idea that we should have 700 people show up. It would be really great. And they kind of looked at me like I had lost my mind, but that's all right. I'm kind of used to that around here. And sure enough, we had 686 people show up yesterday for the Servant Day, and we served in over 20 different places within the community, not just along 86th Street anymore, but downtown at Vida Nueva and at East 10th Street Community and Children's Center, and in lots of different places around this community. And this has become a way of life for people here at St. Luke's. We're a church that really believes that we should be serving in our community and reaching out to our neighbors. So a couple years ago, when Rob came from the Holy Land in North Carolina, he shared about a program that he had at his church, which was this really big back-to-school event that they did. And I had just taken this position, and he told me about it, and I thought, well, that sounds really neat. Maybe we'll do that in 3 or 4 years after We've done some other things. And then I was talking to someone who tutors regularly at Fox Hill Elementary, and she shared with me a statistic that the four elementary schools right around our church have an 85% free and reduced lunch rate. Now, that equates to 2,000 children that live within 3 miles of this church that have free or reduced lunch. And so that was really a game changer for the outreach leadership team. We realized that 3 or 4 years waiting to do a big event like this was not, that was going to be way too long. And so we decided that we would give it a shot. And we partnered with the principals of those four elementary schools and told them what we were thinking of doing. And they started helping us figure out ways to reach out to those families that needed to know about this. And then, sure enough, we had our first back-to-school extravaganza last year. We weren't really sure what to expect, and what we received was an outpouring, not only from you all who volunteered, but the event started at 2 o'clock, and around 1 o'clock, we had hundreds and hundreds of people that were wrapped around the church waiting to get their back-to-school tools. And then once the school started, we heard from those principals that they felt that they had more kids show up on the first day of school than they had the year before. And they thought a big reason was because the kids had what they needed to start school. Now just think, my youngest son, Nathan, who many of you have seen, sometimes he likes to be more dramatic during the children's moments, he starts kindergarten tomorrow morning, which doesn't seem possible. But, you know, we've got the backpack. We have his supplies. He's picked out his Star Wars pencils. That's part of what we do. But imagine if you're not able to do that with your kids. It's hard to get excited about sending them to school because you don't feel like you've really done that thing in which parents feel like they're supposed to do. And so today, around 1 o'clock, I'm sure, hundreds of people will start to wrap around the church waiting to come in. And after the success of last year, other churches took notice. And so Second Presbyterian Church has partnered with us this year, and they have provided 1,000 pairs of new tennis shoes, which are in the fellowship hall, which is why you have to go somewhere else for your donuts today. So thank you for doing that. And then down in the Great Hall is where we'll have all of the school supplies. Then we also have North Minster Presbyterian Church who wanted to partner with us as well. And they are doing the 2 clothing rooms. So the kids will be able to come and do back to school shopping, where they'll be able to pick out some clothing for them to wear. And then Union Chapel United Methodist Church just down the road, they really wanted to be involved. And so they sponsored 250 backpacks with all the school supplies. So we have really begun to make this a community effort for our Washington Township families. Many of you have heard of the backpack attack. That's a really big deal. That is only for IPS kids. There is no other program like this except for North Central Christian Church on Westfield that serves Washington Township children. So this is a great, great opportunity for us to be able to open our doors and welcome families in and let them know that we are a church that cares and wants to be a part of their lives. So many things have happened since the back-to-school extravaganza last year. One of the things that happened was the principals at the school told us something else they really needed was for their parents to learn English, that would be an opportunity for them to be able to communicate better with them. So again, there's kind of a common theme here, which is sometimes we don't always know what we're doing, except that we know we're supposed to do it, and so we do it and then hope that we figure it out as we're going along, which has so far worked out pretty well for us. And so in February, last year at the Back School Extravaganza, we started to gather names. And in February, we started our first classes. We just dove right in there. And we had 50 adult students who came with their children. And so the parents and the kids would eat together. We had volunteers here at the church that would feed them dinner. And then the students, their children would leave and they would go do homework and tutoring and activities. And the parents would stay and learn English. And every table had 2 volunteers from our church here who were table leaders. And what we found out was it became more than just learning English. It became part of developing relationships. And one woman who was a table leader kept up with her friend at the table, Maria, and this summer met Maria and her family at a park and had a picnic and caught up and checked in on how people were doing, and they were learning to live life together in a way that if we hadn't opened our doors for English would not have happened. And so the other thing that happened during our ESL classes was the beginning of somewhat of a domino effect, that we started to realize that about 80% of those students lived in a corridor area between Ditch Road and Michigan along West Lane in a number of the different apartments there. And so when it became time for us to be able to find scholarship students to come to the day camp we did with Spring Hill Camps and then also Summer Splash, we were able to get about 50 elementary age kids who would be able to come on scholarship to the day camp. And then we found drivers who would pick them up and take them home each day. And what we saw was a lot of those drivers started to build relationships with the children and with the parents. So one of my buddies, George, picked up the kids each morning and took them home, not only for the day camp, but also for Summer Splash. And by the end of those 2 weeks, stayed with the kids at the end of the week for our big celebration and chaperoned them and took them around and then took them home because they had become his friends. Another one of our drivers was a guy named Paul. And Paul decided he wanted to take the kids for ice cream at the end of the week and started to notice that one of the little girls couldn't read the menu. And he gave her something to read, and she put it all the way up here and said, well, I think you need glasses. So her family is coming today, and part of the back-to-school extravaganza is we have vision screening, so hopefully she'll be able to get an eye checkup and be able to maybe get some glasses, because I bet if she gets glasses, those reading scores that everyone kept wondering why they're so low will go up. And all that from getting ice cream, which is a good deal in my opinion. So we have all of these different things going on, and then we start to realize that we're building relationships, which are really important to the kind of work that we want to do, because it can be really easy for all of us to just take on an area and say we're going to fix it. But that doesn't really solve any of the problems. All that does is offer a Band-Aid. And so the work that we want to do is to be able to go into communities and assess the leaders that are already there, tap into those assets, and then begin to do major transformational work. And so that's the kind of work that we are seeking to do along that corridor in Washington Township. One of the things that we have begun to see is that one of the mothers that lives along there really wanted her daughter to be able to go to preschool. And so she called here and talked to Molly Smith, our preschool director, about coming in and seeing what it would take to be able to get her four-year-old in the preschool. The problem was she didn't speak English. But because of the ESL class, we knew a few different people who were more accelerated. And one of those students couldn't do it, but her sophomore daughter could do it for us, who goes to North Central. So Star came in. She was able to do the translation, work through some of the cultural things that needed to be worked through. And then, if you remember in June in our Plugged In series, we had the red envelope campaign. You remember all those red envelopes we saw in the back? This was an opportunity for the missions to be able to have some funds that we could use for special projects. And one of those special projects was that we would support six preschool students with scholarships to our preschool here from Washington Township. So the woman who came in is able to pay $10 a month for her tuition, and the red envelope campaign that you all made possible will cover the rest of her tuition. Do you see how God is knitting different things together? Starts with the back-to-school extravaganza, moves to ESL classes. Don't forget that we've had a wonderful relationship at Fox Hill Elementary tutoring kids. The apartment complex that we've been doing a lot of our work in has 537 elementary kids that go to Fox Hill. So we now know where we want to invest our time in this township. is we want to start there with those students who are already going to the school that we have a great relationship with, where we can begin to do more than just helping them read, but get to know their parents, find out what assets their parents have. And so the final thing that we're really excited about, that God has just been opening one door after another, is that we have had a long-standing relationship with IHI, Interfaith Hunger Initiative. And, you know, by 2015, IHI wants Indianapolis to be hunger-free. And one of the ways that they are tackling this issue is by opening pantries around the city. And so, wouldn't you know that when our friends over at Dow AgroSciences data guys looked at the whole city, one of the food deserts that they found to be in this city was at the corner of 71st and Michigan. Now, where is Creekwood Apartments? 3 blocks from there. That's the area where God continues to open doors and reveal to us that we need to be. So for about the last 12 months, we've been working really hard at finding a partner location and some other partners in that community that would want to go in on this work with us so we can open a pantry and help alleviate hunger for our neighbors in that community. And we are getting really close to being able to do that. When we open this pantry, we don't want it to just be a pantry where we're giving out things, but we want it to be a place where we can connect with people. That while you all are serving there, you might begin to ask yourself questions like, why is it that I continue to see the Smiths over and over again at this pantry? What is it that they need added to their life that would make it possible for them to not need this pantry anymore? Do you know that in this congregation, we have 85% of you all that have some kind of higher education? That's incredible. 85% of you have some kind of higher education, which means we have a lot of intellectual property in this church. And there are people here who know how to coach others, who know the importance of education, and who could be able to mentor parents and help them understand why they could do something else and how that would truly change their life. And so the work of the pantry is, yes, to end hunger, but the work of the pantry is really to be able to connect more and be able to figure out how we are all part of this bigger story. So you look at what Micah is saying in our text, and what Micah is saying is God and the Israelites are having an issue. The problem is that God has done all these things for the Israelites, and the Israelites have broken that covenant. And now they want to be back in favor with God, and they're not 100% sure how to do that. So what they think in their mind is if they offer sacrifices, or if they give them their fatted calf, or they even joke around, I think, and Jess, should we give you our oldest child? Which Margaret would not enjoy that if she read that. And what God says through Micah is, no, you don't have to do any of those things. The only thing, the only prerequisite that is required is that you love God, you walk humbly with the Lord, that you have mercy for people that you come in contact with, and that you live a life of justice. Those are the only things. What God does not want are offerings, those material items that we give forth. What God wants is for us to make a lifestyle change, is to think more deeply about the way we treat others and the kinds of things that we do to express our love for God. So my final story I want to tell you is actually about a member here at the church. His name is Roland Hoffer. And Roland contacted me sometime in April about an ultra marathon that he was going to run in Europe. And I wasn't exactly sure why he was contacting me, because I am not exactly the ultra marathon type. But I figured there had to be some reason. So he came to meet with me and said that he was going to be doing this ultra marathon, which, for those of you who don't know, it's a 4-day, not really like The Hills Are Alive kind of Maria von Trapp hike. It's more of like a running up the mountains. Every day you run up about 20 to 25 miles, And at times when he would get up to 6,000 feet, he told me in meters, but I told him we don't talk in meters, to give me the feet. He told me at 6,000 feet, it would be 3 or 4 degrees above freezing. And just to make it more fun, it rained every day. So he came to me because he wanted to do this ultra marathon, but he wanted it to have a little bit of meaning behind it. And he was very interested in the work that Dave and I were doing in Haiti and that this congregation has been involved with. And so I shared with him a few projects. And when I got to the last project, which is we would love to be able to open a women's clinic in Fondois, because a lot of women have their pregnancies, have their deliveries in their home, and when they come into stress, it's very far to find a hospital. So we want a clinic that would be able to help women in their pregnancies, that would be able to train midwives, and that would also be able to do cervical cancer screening. Cervical cancer is the number one killer of women in Haiti. And so we were looking for a way to raise some money to be able to open up this clinic. And when I told him about that option, he got very quiet and just said, well, I think I would like to do that. My mother passed away of cervical cancer. And we knew in that moment that there was a holy moment happening between us. And so he did this hike and literally was running humbly with the Lord, was showing mercy to the women in Haiti and was being just in the work that he was doing. So I encourage you to join his story. He's finished the race, but he's only about halfway to the fundraising he wants to do. And he's here today. He'll be out in the narthex with his medal on and his finisher shirt. And if you'd like to talk to him about how to become part of his story, he'll be out there to talk to you. Now, what this means is we all have to run a marathon. No. Yeah, he's saying, no way, I'm not doing it. You don't have to run a marathon. But what I'm asking you to do is to invest your time in something. Become part of a story. Either tutor at Fox Hill or help us out with the ESL classes. Find something, maybe even that your work is doing, that you would be able to invest your time. Go on one of our 3 or 4 day weekend mission trips. These opportunities help you be able to remember the blessings that you have in your life. They give you a chance to be able to connect with people here in the church and build community. And you begin to really see lives change in a new and exciting way. I really do believe that I have the best job in this church. I often like to proclaim that. I love this job. I love connecting with you all. I love having an opportunity to create new opportunities to be in connection with this community. And yesterday was a really special day. We had a wonderful turnout. If you weren't able to come, I hope you'll mark it on your calendar for next year. It's always the first Saturday of August. And today is going to be another really special afternoon. And so let me just say thank you to you all for going above and beyond. And as we prepare our hearts for communion, I want to just have a chance to be able to celebrate all that we've done and check out our video of pictures from yesterday.